too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning, kind of quickly there. Wednesday, April 24th, 2024, 22 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open. We thank Governor Ted Strickland, former Governor Ted Strickland, for coming on this morning. What an interesting conversation that certainly was about what's going on with the First Energy scandal. Phone lines are open here if you have anything to say. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Do you have anything in regard to what went on or what is going on in regard to this First Energy scandal? We talked a couple weeks ago about the suicide of Sam Randazzo. And, you know, there have been so many people who have opinions in regard to that. Did he commit suicide? What happened there? The timing's awful weird. What secrets did he take to the grave? I don't know. You know, it's all so confusing on a lot of levels. But if you have any comments on the interview with Governor Strickland there, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Or anything else on your mind. If you want to talk about anything going on locally, you want to talk about, I know we're all excited about the Wendy's opening here on North Main Street sometime in the near future. We all would like to know about that. That's going to be exciting. We've talked a lot about what's going on with city council. Still no word from Ray Grogan on what's going to happen with Miranda McGinnis. Maybe we'll hear something eventually. I don't know. It's one of those things, I guess, at this particular point. But a lot of stuff going on. And I'll tell you, do you think people are really interested in the First Energy scandal? You know, it's a funny thing. When it first became an issue, I remember people talking about it somewhat. And then it seemed as if people really lost interest in it. I know it was used during elections to some degree, but not maybe to the degree that I thought a lot of people would be talking about it. And then it seemingly hopped back up on the charts with the suicide of Sam Randazzo earlier this month, and now it's certainly being talked about again. I don't know. The whole thing is just a mess, I would think, from beginning to end. So, if you have any thoughts, 740-751-4038. And, you know, I guess it all comes back to people's interest. Are people interested in it? Do people want to know what happened? Do they want to get to the bottom of it? And I say that about local politics, too. If people don't want to get to the bottom of it, I don't know if we ever will get to the bottom of it. I mean, the media can only do so much, and the people involved, or the people not involved, who are in public office can only do so much. Are there people who are highly interested? I don't know. I think that will remain to be seen. But the question is, what did Governor DeWine know, and has he been forthright and honest in his answers so far in regard to this particular issue? Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Does anybody have an opinion on this? Do you think the governor's been on the level when it comes to this? It's very interesting that his chief of staff seemed to know about this but did not tell him. And then also, in 2018, it looks as if he was at a dinner where a lot of this stuff went down immediately following the dinner, but he didn't know anything about it. I don't know. Maybe he didn't. I don't think there's been any evidence to suggest at this point that he did, but boy, it's awful. It's confusing, I think, to a lot of people, because you look at it on the whole and you say, how could somebody not know who's in the top spot in the state of Ohio? I think that's where people start to fall down on this, and they say, well, maybe he did have to know a little more. And we've talked about conspiracy theories on this show. You know, I am not a huge fan of conspiracy theories, but when people ask the questions, I think you've got to ask the questions. You've got to say, is this logical? Is this not logical? I don't know. That's where that is at this particular point. And again, the phone lines are open if you have any comment on it. 28 minutes past the hour here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Now, yesterday, as we were leaving the air, we were kind of running out of time. We had a caller on the line, and we're kind of going through a few things. But do you think people are a little too sensitive nowadays? I think this is a very interesting question because, you know, it seems like a small question in general, but I think it's a bigger question. Are people too sensitive? Do people lash out when you say something, maybe even not negative, maybe true, maybe your opinion? But can people take it? Can people take it without holding a grudge? And that's a whole nother thing. Do you think people hold grudges when you say things that they don't like? I don't know. I think that's fascinating. We were having that discussion yesterday, and we can continue to have it today because I think it's certainly something worth looking into. I think human nature is fascinating. Why people do what they do. Why do they do it? What's the driver? 740-751-4038.
Go ahead, caller.
Good morning from Idaho, my friend.
Hey, it's been a while. How you been?
Perpetually exhausted. How about you?
You know, pretty good. Staying busy, but doing pretty good.
So I will say, in regards to what you were just talking about, I do think a lot of people are offended way too easily these days. My general belief is that a lot of people would prefer a comforting lie rather than hear the truth.
I think that's true. Now, but before we get, because I want to get into this, but it's 6:30 out there in Idaho, right?
Correct.
Boy, up early, and at least it's a little warmer, isn't it, now than last time we spoke?
Yeah, it's in the 50s right now, and actually, I've been awake for about 18 hours. I just got off of my last night shift with this rotation. It's just, when I get off my night shift, I tend to procrastinate a bit, and I'll stay up till about 10 o'clock or so, working on my computer and doing stuff down here. So I'm listening to WGH right now, and figure this was a good topic to call in on, because it's one that I absolutely have an opinion on.
Well, I think you're right, and I think sometimes you say things to people, and you really don't mean them in a negative way, but they take them in a negative way, and I think they end up holding a grudge, and I don't know how you get around that.
Right, I mean, that's true, especially me being myself. I don't sugarcoat anything the way it is. I always say everything the way it is, but I'm also a union steward, and I deal with people in management-level positions a lot, and I tell them like it is. I have a lot of people that hate me, mainly in management, and I have a lot of coworkers that love me because I say what they're afraid to say out of fear of retaliation, but I just say it.
Well, you know, I don't know. It's interesting because I do think to some degree you do have to sugarcoat some things because I don't think the goal is ever to hurt anybody's feelings. And if you know that that intentionally will hurt their feelings, that's one thing. But I guess I will
sugarcoat in the aspect of remaining professional, but whenever I say something, I do keep everything factual and say it how it is, but respectfully, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, what I guess is interesting is there are some things in life that are fact, and there are some things in life that are opinion, and most things in life really are subjective. And if you're giving a subjective opinion on something, I don't know that that should be taken as critical. It probably isn't critical. It probably is more just a take, a question. I don't know that it's necessarily meant to be critical. But people are very sensitive when it comes to those type of things.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things are definitely, like you said, subjective, open to interpretation. A lot of people's everything that they say is opinion-based, but certain things are factual, and there's just people out there that choose not to accept that as the truth, despite any amount of overwhelming proof otherwise.
Well, I'll tell you what's funny. A lot of times I will ask people how they're doing, and I can tell. You can just tell that they're not, you know, maybe it's just in that moment. It might not be overall. But in that moment, you know that they are not doing the best. Their body language says different. Their tone of voice says different. Their attitude says different. And you know things aren't fine. And yet they will say fine. But if you go any deeper on that and you say, well, no, it doesn't seem like things are fine, they don't like that. They don't want you to go any deeper. And I think that's where the sensitivity comes in.
Well, I can even comment on that personally. So, for example, we've had a lot of different issues going on at the mill, this particular shift rotation. And people will ask how I'm doing. And even though I really do not want to be there, I just want to be at home, I'll say, oh, you know, living the dream. And kind of like you said, like, you can tell from body language and the way people act that they're not okay, and they don't want to go deeper into it when you try poking at them with questions. I'm kind of the same way because I kind of feel like I have to figure everything out myself. I don't want to burden somebody else with my issues.
Well, I understand that, but I also, you know, if people are asking, they probably really want to know.
Yeah, I guess it's just a trait that's ingrained into certain people's personality that if they're going through something, they would rather not open up about it, you know? Try not to think about it or discuss it, just deal with it on their own and not... Even if people genuinely want to know, they're still going to feel like a bother either way.
Well, this was a big discussion we had last week, and some people said yes and some people said no, but my take was that when we had the happiness expert on who wrote the book, I said, I don't think the majority of people are happy. I think the majority of people are content. I don't think they walk around angry, but I don't think they're happy. Now, some people said that was completely wrong, and some people said, well, no, I think you're right. I don't think people are completely happy. I don't know. What's your take?
I think that is generally the way it is. A lot of people are content. Like I've mentioned before, despite making how much I do, I'm a type 1 diabetic, and you know, even with insurance, the criminal amount of money I pay out of pocket just to stay alive. So it's kind of hard to stay ahead and save anything, so a lot of the times I wouldn't say I'm truly happy. I would say I'm just going through the motions every day, just taking each day as it comes. and it's been like this for so long that it's normal to me, so I'd say I'm content where I'm at. But I know deep down things could be better, but I know the likelihood of that happening is very small.
Only when you're listening to this show are you truly happy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and it's interesting to me because so much of people's happiness is based in their kids and their spouse or their significant other. And I always find that interesting because, as anybody will tell you, you cannot base your happiness in anybody else unless you're truly happy on your own. The other person, they can give you temporary moments of happiness, but they cannot fix your life. They cannot make you a happy person. And I we joke about it a lot on the show about multiple marriages and multiple divorces and things of that nature. But, you know, the truth of the matter is the reason that that happens is because you think it's going to fix you, and it does fix you momentarily, but it doesn't last forever because unless you are truly happy with yourself and your life, then it ain't going to work.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I would say, and I might be grasping straws at this one, but I'd say a lot of people that base their happiness on being in a relationship with somebody or having somebody that depends on them, like their kid or something like that, I would say they might feel like having that other person in their life gives their life a purpose. And that's why they keep going every day and they don't lose hope.
Well, you know, it's funny you bring that up because I was reading something that somebody wrote the other day, and essentially it was what makes their life happy is being needed by other people.
Yeah.
And I asked a question about this. I said, well, what happens when nobody needs you anymore? Because you're telling me here that your life's happiness is based upon this. What happens when that's not the case anymore? And I think they got a little defensive when I asked that question. Now, I'm not trying to ask that question to be rude or facetious. I'm just curious because I think that's a very interesting thing to say. To say that my happiness is based upon who needs me. And, you know, I don't think that's how life is supposed to be set up. I mean, of course your kids are going to need you at some point, and your spouse will probably need you at some point, but I don't know that's what you should be basing your happiness in. And a lot of people will say, well, I'm busy, so I'm happy. Well, is that really true? Busy doing what? Like washing clothes? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I would say in that regard, if people say that they're happy because they're busy, I would guess that they have some personal issues or things going on in their personal life, and being busy distracts them from having to think about that. So I would say that would be more of a false happiness.
I would think that the people we think have it most together are probably the most fragile and sensitive people in the entire group.
Yeah.
Because I think they're so hard trying to portray something that they're not, that, you know, they come off to a lot of people, if you're just with them for a few minutes, that they've got their stuff together, but really, under all that, they're just kind of a mess.
Yeah, I mean, I can say the same about myself. So when I'm in the workplace, I kind of have to put on a front that I'm this high upstanding professional individual, because after all I am a union representative and I'm also now on the executive board for my union. But you can ask anyone that's regularly involved in my personal life or even close friends, I'm probably one of the craziest, most unhinged people you will ever meet.
Well, see, that's interesting, you know, and I would say about myself, oddly enough, that pretty much what you hear on the air or what you get in person is pretty much the same person. Now, I think the reason that is because in general, I am happy. So I don't feel the need to put on any kind of airs for people. You know, when I come on and say something or disagree with somebody or say these things about marriages or relationships or children or whatever, I can do that because I am happy and I'm not concerned whether people would like me or dislike me for saying something like that. Where I think a person who's a little more fragile might take that into account a little more. So I don't know. It's hard to say that I'm happy and somebody else is not. I certainly feel happy. I a lot of good things have happened to me, and I stay, you know, fairly busy with those things. So I feel happy, but I don't know. It's a very interesting thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I thank you for calling in. It's always fascinating to hear. How are things going in Idaho? Any potatoes out there?
So, I forget where exactly it's at. It's somewhere up in Washington, but there was this farm that had way too many potatoes. So they just loaded them up in dump trucks, and they dumped all of them in the field, and they're giving them away for free. People are just coming out with bags and getting all these potatoes. It's a free-for-all.
Well, wouldn't that be nice? We'd take that here in Ohio.
I'll be honest. I'm kind of planning a road trip up there since I'm now on my days off.
Oh, well, there you go. How many days do you get off?
Well, technically it's 4 days, but I count it as 3.5 days since I get off at 6 a.m. on my last night shift, and then I spend most of what would be my quote-unquote first day off asleep until about dinner time or so. So they call it 4 days off, but I'd call it 3.5 or even 3, depending on your sleep schedule.
You'll have to bring some Idaho potatoes.
I can see how many I can fit in a medium flat rate box. I don't know if they will make it all the way there, though.
Hey, I was going to ask you. I know you listened to the Friday Night Show. Did you listen last week with Miranda and Mike?
No, actually, I was not able to. I was at work, and I was putting out fires left and right, so I didn't even have my phone on me for most of that night.
I'll tell you, you'll have to catch it sometime. Did you hear Governor Strickland this morning?
Yes, I caught the tail end of that before I called in.
Now, what did you make of that on a kind of a final note here?
Honestly, I don't really keep in touch with Ohio news that much anymore, so I don't really have an opinion or really any knowledge on anything to do with the First Energy scandal.
It's a mess. It's a mess, especially with the suicide of Mr. Randazzo a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that I find interesting. After we get off the phone here, I am going to do a little bit of research on that because now I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for calling so early in the morning out there in Idaho. Glad to know you're still out there, and call anytime and stay tuned.
Yep, you take care.
Thank you. Our caller from Idaho, which makes this show multi-state. All right, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give me a buzz if there's anything on your mind. Those questions, I think, are intriguing, as the caller said there. Are people happy? Are people not happy? Are people too sensitive? Are people not sensitive enough? You know, I don't know. I honestly don't know on the whole. It's day to day. Sometimes people are great. Sometimes people are just what you want them to be. And then other days, it's like going down some kind of dark hill. All right, let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
You're way too sensitive, Scott.
I think so this morning. I think my sensitivity levels are up. It was because during the interview with the governor, we lost connection 10 minutes in, and that drives me nuts.
Oh, wow. That would drive you nuts.
But we rebounded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear the governor this morning?
I heard parts of it, yeah.
That's a fascinating story.
Well, I think the wheels started to go off with the Citizens United case in 2010 when they allowed all this money to be corporations, you know, to pump unlimited money into elections. Now, at the time, I got to admit that I was in favor of the decision, but I think in retrospect, look at what's happened. Now we have all these PACs, political action committees, and unlimited amounts of money coming in from any number of big corporations or other nonprofits, and it has done a lot of harm.
Well, it's just interesting to me because I certainly don't want to impugn anybody here, but there's a lot of stuff going on, and Governor DeWine's answers always seem to be, I don't know, or I wasn't aware, or ask that person.
What have I said about Governor DeWine, Scott? Do you remember?
Well, I know you're not a fan.
No, he's a scumbag.
Well, there you
go.
He's a scumbag. Well, but how do you really feel about him?
Oh, I'll tell you.
let's dig a little deeper.
Reserve that for off air, though.
Yeah, let's dig a little deeper into Governor DeWine. But it's just confusing to me the things that he says sometimes, because even if you did like the man, I think it would be hard to. I don't know. It would be hard to understand some of his answers. Let's put it that way.
Well, yeah. Look at the cover up of East Palestine. You know, when that train derailed and you had that huge environmental catastrophe, and who were they covering for then? You know, I guess the Ohio EPA, you know, which would be under the purview of DeWine, is the one that gave the order to burn it off, which was apparently not only the wrong thing to do, but was unnecessary in that circumstance. But, you know, then they cover for the railroads, you know, and these poor people who, you know, suffered, they get a penance, you know, and that's what happens.
Well, you know, not to be too much in the heavy subject this morning, but we were having a conversation yesterday as we were going off the air that I don't think we really got to the bottom of. Are people too sensitive? Are people, do they take criticism well?
I'm sensitive when heavy topics get transitioned.
did you see that transition there? I thought that was a great segue. I thought
you're a master, Scott.
Well, that's why I'm here. That's why I got a hot dog bun up at Tony Paco's for segues like that.
Oh, yeah, no, people are way too sensitive and take offense in every little thing. You know, I get tired of, you know, and I don't know if you come around people that'll be like, oh, I was triggered, or that's a trigger for me. You know, get over yourself. Get over yourself. You know, if you're upset about something, okay, but you don't need to make the world suffer by, you know, spouting off at the mouth about how you're triggered.
Well, it's just interesting to me because, in general, if somebody's body language is off, if their tone of voice is off, if they look off, I don't think asking is everything okay a bad thing to do, and if they say fine, that really is not getting to the bottom of it. And I don't know why people, what is wrong with saying, well, no, things aren't that great right now, but hopefully they'll rebound. You know, people would leave that alone.
I don't know, and so many people will, when you know that their situation, you know, is troubled, let's just say professionally, you know, in business. But, oh, how's business? Oh, it's great. You know, they never tell you the truth when you know it's not great, you know?
No, I think that's a sign of defeat.
Huh?
I think it's a sign of defeat for a lot of people.
Yeah, but be honest. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm one of the last honest people alive that's a direct shooter and will tell you what I think.
Well, I'll tell you. Now, listen, I have to call you out here because I don't normally see other people's Facebook posts because I really don't scroll through the news feed or anything. So usually just whatever is up there is whatever I see when I'm checking a message or get a message or something like that. And the other day, I don't know when it was, but I saw your post about somebody going to the restroom outside, and I know you listened to the show on Friday night. Now, what are the odds?
Oh, yeah. No, did I miss? Were they talking about going to the bathroom outside?
Oh, you didn't catch that on Friday night where Miranda went into her whole little thing about the kitty litter bags and going in between.
I listened. I must have missed it. I don't know. But no, I mean, that was like eight spots in from the storefront.
Well, tell people what we're talking about here.
Yeah, I was sitting in the parking lot. I'm not going to say what store or where, but this woman pulls in with a SUV about eight spots away from the entrance of this department store or retailer, and she casually exits the vehicle, shuts the door. People are pulling in, walking around. I'm sitting in my vehicle, you know, kind of looking in the rearview mirror, and she just drops her britches down to her knees and squats and urinates in the parking lot.
Right in the parking lot.
Does not try to conceal it at all. I'm talking like literally exposed to the world, everything that God gave her when she was born.
Really?
Yes. And here I thought that she was defecating, and I was like completely in shock. I was a little bit relieved when I found out it was just urine, but still.
You know, that's a sad state of affairs, that when you realize it's urination, that is a pick-me-up.
I know. You know, and then when she finished, you know, she just pulled her britches up and shuffled on into the store.
Now, was this somebody who you would say was this an attractive person, an unattractive person? Was this
that made it even worse?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, now see, that's not very nice. I was only asking that because it's interesting to me, because I think certain people wouldn't do that because they would be afraid somebody would take an inappropriate picture in this world of everybody having a phone.
Yeah, no, she didn't care. And, yeah, she just shuffled on into the store. But I'm thinking, I mean, nature calls. Stuff happens. I understand it. But if you're driving and you're like, man, I'm gonna pee myself, wouldn't you, like, go off into a concealed location and keep the door halfway propped and do what you got to do? Or if you don't think that you can make it into the restroom at the store, you know, you would do something like that. But no, to literally just casually park, get out, and drop your pants. I mean, that's the country that we live in. And this is this area. I mean, if you read what's going on in these big cities, where, you know, San Francisco, for example, and I think Kalamazoo, Michigan, they changed the laws up there to where public urination and I think even defecation is now legal. You know, is that where we're at? Is that going to be the new standard in America?
You know what's funny, though? People are open to that. It's a strange thing because I work with somebody who I would say is a little, you know, I guess the best way to describe them would be a little prissy. You know, they're kind of, you know, they want to dress a certain way, they want to act a certain way, they want to be seen a certain way. But every so often, and I'm not saying that they would go to the bathroom in a parking lot, but they try to, they say something like they're very earthy. You know, all of a sudden, like, they're very, you know, like in the mud and in the weeds. And I don't
in the mud.
In the mud and in the weeds. And I know darn well that this person is not in, I've never seen it. I've never seen pictures of it. I've never seen them anywhere like that. But yet they want to, I don't know, is that a thing that you want to display? That, listen, I'm off in the mud, I'm off in the weeds, I'm not highbrow, I'm just trying to look highbrow.
Well, getting your hands dirty is one thing, and being, you know, in the soil, but soiling yourself in public, or, you know.
This was in Caledonia, wasn't it?
No.
I will bet money. I think you're changing. I think you're changing the address of where this happened, because I have been to Caledonia several times, and I know, not that I have seen this particular act, but I, you know, dollars to donuts, if it happened, it wouldn't have shocked me.
It was not my fair Caledonia. No.
Well, but you know, you've seen some people there who you thought might do it, haven't you?
I mean, I guess now I have to look at everybody differently. I'm like, you know, I meet somebody, I'm like, are you somebody that will pee or poop in public?
There's some kind of haze over that particular area. I don't know what it is. It doesn't even matter who it is. I mean, it just is, sure, I would do that. I don't know. It's a very strange thing.
It's very strange, and like I said, I don't know. I think people are probably going to, like I said yesterday, with all these, you know, devices that they're inventing, you know, where you wear them on your face and have three or four screens up and they're 3D. Is that what we're going to be? We're going to have a society, all these people walking around with these devices where they're browsing at multiple things and then they just, like, you know, drop their drawers and poop on the street. Like, I don't want to live in that world, Scott.
You know what? I hate to bring this up with the final 3 minutes left because I feel this is a bigger conversation. But I think this is where taking pictures with that chew in your mouth starts. And before you know it, you're going in parking lots.
Maybe.
See, that's why, see, people don't understand what I'm trying to say about that. I think that's the start of a downhill slide. You know, it's like when you start wearing pajama bottoms to the grocery store. You think that's not a big deal, and I guess on the whole it's not a big deal because you're covered and it's fine, and some pajama bottoms look like pants. But eventually, you're taking less care of yourself. And then eventually, it just slides further down.
Then they have to say juicy on them.
Yes, a slippery slope. A slippery slope. And I think that's apoplectic of things that people do when they start not to care. And they, okay, well, that's okay. I'll allow that. I'll allow that. Well, then you start allowing more things that maybe heretofore you would not have allowed. And before you know it, you know, you got pictures with you with a big old thing in your mouth. So, but again, I don't know that that's really what it was, to be honest. It could have been some kind of tumor. I hope it's not, but what can you do?
They, like, die next week, and you're like, oh, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I feel horrible if that's what it is, but I have to say that I don't feel that's what it is from the picture, and, you know, I don't know. It's like going to the funerals with, like, your shoes and, like, your socks on, no shoes. Going to a funeral with your socks. I think at some point, if you don't have the clothes and you don't have the shoes, I understand, and you want to go to the funeral, that's fine. But if you have the stuff and you're just doing it because you're lazy, well, that's not good.
You can go to Goodwill and get, like, a pair of, you know, dress clothes very affordably. So, no, that's not an excuse.
You know, that's a whole nother thing that was big over in Caledonia with a few people that I knew. They were very big into the Goodwill, and I'm not against the Goodwill. I think Goodwill's fine. I like going to the Goodwills.
Goodwill's great. I mean, you can find very gently used, sometimes brand new, you know, especially in today's inflationary environment where, you know, you buy a shirt and it's like $60, you know, ridiculous. You might as well be smart, and if it's in good shape, you know, go to Goodwill.
But, you know, yeah, very rarely did I ever buy clothes. The other person I was with bought a lot of clothes there, but it was, you know, it's fine.
They sell underwear. I would draw the line at underwear.
Well, if you're going in the parking lot, does it really matter at that particular?
Just go commando. Yeah. I mean, let's just take the Band-Aid off.
You're listening to the Talking
People
Place.
Walk around naked. And
just listen to former
like
star of
I think we should keep the Band-Aid on. I think Marla the Band-Aid Gibbs. Should stay on. And
where
on
did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
For this day, we're headed for the dugout. Thanks
really?
For calling.
My name is Margaret, and I thought that was too mouthy. Margaret Bradley. There's no rhythm to it. Of course, it doesn't. I think in the end, it doesn't matter. But it's just whatever you think. So I thought Marla. I wanted the M. So Marla Gibbs had better rhythm to me.
Marla.
And so I don't know. That's why. I